Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
The big local story of the day turns out not to really be the Bay Center meeting, which was interesting and far more productive than I expected, actually. In fact, it, short version, you know, I know David's been talking about it. I don't have the clips cut. I just didn't have a chance to do it yesterday, but I'll do it for Monday. We can go through some. There are some interesting moments in that conversation, by the way. You know, we're talking about $150 to $200 million project overall. So, you know, it, you probably ought to have an opinion. That's a half a Bay Bridge, right? That's a half a 3 mile bridge. That's a lot. The biggest... Probably, yeah, that'd be the biggest public works project since the jail, and that was touted as the biggest public works project in Escambia County history. Anyway, they're going to renovate the Bay Center. That's a done. Everybody agrees. I mean, it's not done, but that's definitely going to happen. That's to have bigger concerts primarily, you know, bigger venue and more of the box seating, the nicer seating. Anyway, then what looks like almost certainly is going to be building a multi-use facility out back that can, as you know, Ashley Hoffberger described it, it's a convention center during the day, so like for smaller conventions, and then on the weekends you can have, you know, sports. You can have basketball and volleyball and cheerleading and all of that kind of stuff, and be a travel and for other things as well, but that would be the main kind of uses, as opposed to a convention center for basically, because a convention center has to come with a hotel with a big ballroom, and that's not really in the works, and the concern that a convention center is not as doesn't have as much variety to it in order to be used in other ways. You know, you're kind of committing only to the convention business, and you know, at least the other center has more alternatives. Anyway, there almost everybody was on board with this, and looks like that's going to go. We're just, you know, details. The ice rink looks like it's a wait and see with Greg Harris from the Ice Flyers, and the hotel is also a wait and see because nobody's real eager to invest in all of that. Okay, but that's the short version. Okay, I'll deal with it in more detail on Monday. No. The big news for Escambia County, especially in politics, was Mike Kohler. This story is crazy. Crazy, and also, I don't want to make it seem like it's bigger than it is. Mike Kohler, who I consider a friend, you know, good guy, Navy guy. He's a commissioner for District 2. He was out canvassing in the Sanders Beach area on April 13th. So that would have been Monday. That's Monday. And he was out around driving, putting out signs, whatever. And apparently he got out of his truck to go put out a sign, and he forgot to put the truck in park. So he went one way and the truck went the other way. And then the truck ran into a pole, and he knew that part. But he didn't think that there was any damage done other than to his truck. But it turns out, actually, later, so he left. And then apparently there was a fire that started. And as a result of the fire, you had electrical damage. You had damage to a house because of the electricity inside of the house. The fire department actually had to come and put out the fire. Somehow or other in all of this, Mike had gotten back onto the scene and had asked them if he needed to stick around for anything, and they said no. And so now he's being charged by the Pensacola Police Department for, you know, leaving the scene, apparently. So this is it's all weird. Like, every part of the story is super weird. You know, John, have you ever gotten out of your car and just accidentally left it in drive and
no,
it
because
keeps going?
My foot would come off the brake It would start rolling. So I'd be like, oh, yeah.
You know, right? Right away. Yeah. I mean, Mike's a normal, capable adult human being. I'm sure there's an explanation. You know, I'm sure there's... Yeah, and it, if you're in and out of your car a lot, I mean, maybe... I don't know. I can't make sense of it. I don't think. He thought it was only damage to his truck. The homeowner there said the incident caused $3,000 in property damage, including fire to the roof's weather, had electrical shorting throughout the house. Molly Barrows did a good report on this for the PNJ. The water main there was broken by workers who came to make the electrical repairs, so it got worse before it got better. That led to gushing water line in the yard. That all had to be fixed. Somebody said that they were trying to, they couldn't figure out who the truck belonged to at first, but it was like, Ring camera footage from a neighbor helped them figure out what truck it was, and then they're trying to follow it up, and then they called the office, and one of the staffers acknowledged they said to the staffer, there's damage to my property. Have him call me when he's out of his meeting. And the staffer says, oh, we know about that. You mean where he hit the pole? So this was, you know, wasn't trying to hide it, or at least it was well known within. Filed a report with the PPD, and, you know, there you go. Investigator Mike Wood, talking to the Pensacola News Journal, says, an investigator can't confirm whether or not we have a hit and run or not. He's still working on what exactly occurred. Kohler had been asked for a perspective by the PNJ and basically left a message with them that, you know, just said, I'm working on it. I mean, there's a long message. This is Commissioner Mike Kohler. How are you doing? I got you. I'm calling you. I hit a pole, I guess, next to a property that you rent. This is from the neighbor had supplied this, or the victim had supplied this. I was there yesterday with the fire department and asked if I'd leave. I didn't. I didn't see a fire. I don't know what I have a fire chief doing there, but here's the deal. By the way, this sounds exactly like Mike Kohler talks, so I'm sure it's authentic. I talked to the officer at the Pensacola Police. He's going to call you, and I'm already putting in a claim with Progressive. I'm just waiting to get back to the fire chief report on what happened with the I don't see a fire. I didn't see a fire. I drove by it today. I don't know what all that means, but anyways, I'll file something later today and give that to the officer at the PPD. Okay, feel free to call me back if you have any questions. All right, sorry about this. Bye. Which, I mean, that sounds just like Mike Kohler talks, so I'm sure it's authentic. You know, if it's just the property damage below a certain threshold, apparently you don't need to stop it. If it's a vehicle crash, at least $5,000, you do. So we'll see what happens from now. But it's a weird story. It's a weird story. By the way, I have asked Mike if he wanted to comment on this, and I haven't heard back from him just yet. But, oh, actually, no, take that back. He just got back to me. He said he'll be on in half an hour, so we'll talk to him about it then. Okay, cool. Which I had offered him. I said, you know, obviously I'm always wanting to hear their side. I always want to give them a chance to talk about it. Plus, we have the Bay Center stuff we can talk about as well. So I guess we're going to have Mike on the show in about 20 minutes, which is cool. All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
All right. Awesome. All right. So if you're on Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road, expect about a 7-minute delay in that area. But I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you do not get a good night's rest, it could be that you don't have a good quality mattress. I mean, that is often the case, and you might not think about it, but then again, you probably know. I mean, if you're waking up in the morning, or you're tossing and turning at night, and you're waking up feeling ache and pain, and you're like, oh, I'm just old. Well, I mean, could be. You know, we wake up differently when you get older, but you should wake up feeling better than when you went to bed. And if you wake up feeling worse, or, you know, achy or headachy or any of that kind of stuff, go to the sleep center. Get a good mattress. Find out what a difference a good quality mattress can make to your peace of mind, peace of body, being able to be rested and refreshed for the day. You know, you shouldn't be beat up by your mattress in the night. And look, I know why you don't want to go, because it's expensive. There's no doubt. Good mattresses are not cheap, but they are so worth it. I mean, that's a health care issue, right? And how much is good health and feeling good worth to you? But also, you don't want to deal with the people at the mattress store. I understand that as well. That's why they try to do it differently at the sleep center. They try to give you, you know, great service. They don't have commissions, so they don't have pressure. Best prices, best selection. They've been around for 30 years. There's a reason everybody tries to imitate them, because they do it well, and maybe not everyone does it quite that well. One of the little things is that their salespeople don't start in sales. They start on delivery so that they can see what the customer does, what the customer uses it for, how it works in the space. Like, to really think through the implications of when they're talking to you about a mattress or helping you figure one out, how that works in the end for you. So if you've ever been treated poorly by a mattress or by a mattress store, go to the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
Discouraged, defeated, disappointed, you're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
I'm Terry Village Shishati, former commanding officer of Naval Air Station Pensacola, and I wanted to personally invite you all to join us on May 8th for that second annual Pensacola Navy Days Golf Tournament presented by Astro Lincoln. It's going to be held on board Naval Air Station Pensacola at the historic A.C. Reed Golf Course. There's going to be some great giveaways, contests throughout the course, and we're going to finish up the day with an awesome award ceremony. So to find out more, go on PensacolaNavyDays.org and click on the events page. Come on out and support Pensacola Navy Days and our incredible military community.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Bill.
What?
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Good morning, 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, it's funny. I sometimes think about things radio people do that are annoying or standard, and we try not to do a lot of those things, like the coming up in 24 minutes. We're going to, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I actually am going to talk to Mike Kohler here in about 15 minutes, so I want you to be aware of that. But generally, you don't hear me do a lot of that. The good morning kind of welcome every time we come back on the air, that's one that I think about sometimes because, like, for a person who's been just tuned in,
right.
You know, I'm saying hi.
You
but for the person who
it.
Listens to all 4 hours, I've said good morning to them like 15 times in
it's
the day.
It's fine. It's a Southern thing.
I know. They're used to it.
Yes.
It's okay. Oh, man.
Don't overthink it.
Overthinkers Anonymous.
Hi,
my name's
not
Andrew.
Anonymous.
I'm Overthinker Anonymous. All right. No, it's too easy. But the, you know... Why is it that we always say our names when we're in the anonymous groups? David Wayne is in the newsroom. It's the very first thing you say. Hey, good to be here at Anonymous Whatever. My name is Jeff. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Justice Department is reportedly investigating sexual misconduct allegations against former Congressman Eric Swalwell. So far, at least 5 women have come forward with accusations against him, including one who accused him of drugging and raping her. There's new poll out that shows strong support among Cuban Americans for U.S. military action in Cuba. The survey was done by the Miami Herald, found 80% of respondents were in favor of intervention aimed at regime change, humanitarian relief, or both.
You know, I never watched the interview of, I forget who they had on from Cuba on maybe Meet the Press on Sunday, but I read about it. And they're scared, like, and I think understandably so. And they were talking about how, you know, you don't need to invade us. So he's already done two like a war and a sort of a little half war, you know, in Venezuela. And yeah, we're good. No need.
Never know what's coming next. And Anthropic, Andrew, is releasing a new AI model, Claude Opus 4.7. The company says it's better than past models, apparently less capable than the Claude Mythos preview, which they said was too powerful and they can't release it to the public. Because it showed a dangerous potential for circumventing safeguards.
Okay, all right. So, well, that's really been their brand, though. And I am by no means any kind of an expert about the nuances of the world of AI. I'm kind of against all of it, right? You know that. But I have paid attention and tried to read. And Anthropic and Claude were the ones that the military, you know, started with. And the whole brand, as I understand it, for Anthropic has been, this is going to be safe. This is going to be the more responsible version of AI. This won't work with like autonomous weapon systems. You won't be able to put the, won't be able to put our AI into your Reapers or your drones. It's not going to work that way. It's, you know, safeguards against being misused. And also for surveillance, it's not going to be used for that. And that's why the military had started with it. And then said, well, you got to get rid of those safeguards or we aren't going to use it. And then they said no. And then they basically kicked them out, sued them, and tried to declare them as something akin to a terrorist facilitating organization, that they should be not part of the supply chain in the U.S., which I thought was ridiculous, petty, and, I mean, really, really bad story for the U.S. military for them to take that approach. But so anyway, it's quite a marketing campaign, though, right? Like, release a device that's super powerful and then release another one. It's like, this one's not as powerful because that one's scary powerful, but this one's still pretty good, like, to make people want to have it. But also the safeguards, which I think is, again, I am not an expert in this vicinity other than the science fiction movies. So I don't want to have too much, like, pretend I have authority to know, but that's how I understand it. And I think kudos to them for doing something responsible. I mean, not bringing a product to market that they think can be easily misused. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report, but if you're on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10, expect just a five-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. What else do we have going on? There was one thing I was going to tell you about. What was it? In the Iran war, we've got, it's not exactly the Iran war, but you've got a ceasefire now between Israel and Lebanon, which is, you know, better than not having one, typically. You also have new back and forth with the Pope and President Trump or the administration. Remember, the ongoing conversation here has been that President Trump and the United States and Israel, we bombed Iran, and the Pope has basically said that, shortened version, that you cannot claim Christ as your justification for attacking another country, that God doesn't hear the prayers of the people who are involved in bloodshed. And, of course, the response has been, I don't know, sir, have you read the Bible? Because I've read it, you know, and it does seem to be that that's not quite true, plus just war theory, which is what J.D. Vance essentially said the other day, who is a Catholic, in responding to the Pope. And, you know, Trump, of course, said his own more colorful and less diplomatic version of the same thing. And the Pope has, you know, kind of had his responses. Well, now the Pope has again weighed in on this. And what he's saying now is that the world is being ravaged by a handful of tyrants. This is during a visit to Cameroon. He says that they've been manipulating the very name of God for their own gain. I don't know that I read that as directed at Trump necessarily. And sometimes, you know, a thing can be true and you take it a certain way, even though it wasn't really intended that way. But the Pope criticized leaders who, quote, turn a blind eye to the fact that billions of dollars are being spent on killing and devastation, yet the resources needed for healing, education, and restoration are nowhere to be found. The masters of war pretend not to know that it takes only a moment to destroy, yet often a lifetime is not enough to rebuild. And he condemned an endless cycle of destabilization and death in a bloodstained region of Cameroon that has been gripped by insurgency for nearly a decade. Now, here a little bit more. Those who rob your land of its resources generally invest much of it in profit and weapons, perpetuating an endless cycle of destabilization and death, which is all true. Peace is not something we must invent. It's something we must embrace by accepting our neighbor as a brother and as our sister. There's a lot of truth in that. But there's also, there are times for just war. And we've talked about this quite a bit on the show. And I think what is also bothering, I mean, what bothers some religious people is, of course, some of the things Trump has done recently, like AI Jesus, Dr. Trump, you know, rightly so. That was ridiculous, arguably verging on blasphemy. You know, it's really bad. But he deleted it, and then he pretended it was something else. Fine. It's Trump's weird. But we know that's baked in. So on this issue, though, this issue, where is the kind of consistency from the Pope, I think, is what a lot of people are asking. Is, so we have killed somewhere on the order of 3,000 to 4,000 Iranians, soldiers primarily, but some civilians, inadvertently, in the process of completely dismantling their military structure. And they killed 30 or 40, nobody really knows, 1,000 of their own people who were demonstrating against the regime. And how loudly has the Pope been about criticizing that? And in contrast, the regime that kills its own people and destabilizes the region and funds and supports and equips terrorist operations in Lebanon, Hezbollah, Hamas in Gaza, the Houthis in Yemen, and for the last 47 years has said, you know, death to America and death to Israel, and done everything they could to export death and terror around the region. Maybe talk about that more for consistency. And I'm sure that the Pope would condemn those things. I would hope so. But it's a question of, you know, which were you loudest about and for how long? Because, again, that's what we are concerned about, is all of that plus the potential of nuclear weapons, which it's not an unfair criticism to say we're doing this war as a last resort because we've got to make sure that they don't ever get nuclear weapons. And how else would you propose we do this, sir?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Will the blockade of Iranian ports by the U.S. Navy lead to a take-it-or-leave-it scenario for Iran at the peace table?
President Trump says the U.S. blockade might end up being more powerful than the bombing, as the blockade is estimated to be costing Iran up to hundreds of millions of dollars in losses per day. The president says, believe it or not, the U.S. is on better terms with Iran right now. He thinks a more permanent deal is coming, and the ceasefire may not need to be extended.
Fox's Matt Finn, 10 American scientists either missing or died under mysterious circumstances. President Trump.
I hope it's random, but we're going to know in the next week and a half.
Meanwhile, Pope Leo celebrates Mass before 120,000 Catholics at a stadium in the port city of Douala in Cameroon, part of his trip to the African continent. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. 64 degrees. Beautiful Friday morning. We've got a full forecast on the way in just a few minutes. Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler is facing a traffic charge after his truck rolled into a power pole in the Sanders Beach neighborhood while he was canvassing for re-election. PPD says Kohler left his truck running and in drive while dropping off campaign signs April 13th. The truck apparently rolled down the street and struck a pole, snapping it and causing a small electrical fire that did about $3,000 in damage to a nearby home. Kohler will be on with Andrew here in the next hour to discuss that, and also the joint session that Pensacola City Council and the Escambia Board of Commissioners had on the future of the Pensacola Bay Center. As far as that goes, Commissioners and City Council did sit down together yesterday for that joint session. For the first time in a long time, both bodies left the room pointing in the same direction. Their consensus: renovate the Bay Center, build a second Flex event center next door, and also keep talking about a potential second sheet of ice through a public-private partnership. County Commission Chair Ashley Hoffberger.
This is a huge community project and a once-in-a-lifetime project for all of us. And it's rare we get the opportunities to invest such a major amount of money into something that could change our entire community for the better and that we'll all be able to see the benefits of.
And County Administrator Wes Moreno, City Administrator David Stafford were tasked with putting together some joint framework to bring back to both bodies. That would likely be done sometime around June. The county's tourist development tax bonding capacity is also now confirmed at close to $150 million, enough to fund both the Bay Center renovation and the new event center. Well, the Molino Park Elementary School PTA Spring Carnival is happening today. There's going to be food trucks, vendors, live and silent auctions, and other activities for children and adults. That happens starting at 5:30 tonight at the school on Highway 97. If you're going to that, wristbands are $15. A stolen firearms investigation that began with a burglary at a Molino home ended with arrests in both Florida and Delaware. 30-year-old Christopher Spruill of Marino was arrested after a foot chase and charged with burglarizing a home and stealing six firearms. Spruill reportedly admitted to investigators he'd given four of those guns to a man in exchange for an $1,100 loan. Delaware authorities later recovered one of the stolen weapons during a domestic violence search warrant and traced text messages linking the guns to 32-year-old Cameron Edgecrum of Cantonment, who had allegedly bought two of the firearms while knowing that they were illegal. Spruill's held on $86,000 bond, Edgecrum on $50,000 bond. And Spirit Airlines could be heading towards a liquidation. Officials at the Pensacola Airport say if that happened, the local impact would be limited. Spirit accounts for about 3% of flights at the airport during peak season in July. Officials say other carriers have already moved into some of Spirit's markets, and customers would likely just shift to other budget airlines like Breeze and Frontier. Now 7:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got one accident to report to you right now that happened at, 9 Mile and I-10. Traffic, so if you're going westbound on 9 Mile, you're going to start to see some delays in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching 10 Mile Road, seeing a 7-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, you're going to see an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up today near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Saturday, partly sunny skies, high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Sunday morning, 50% chance of some showers with some heavy pockets possible. Saturday afternoon, highs near 75 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 52. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 64 degrees right now with clear skies. Our next news. At 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. Fit awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all. With the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed. Staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Figure out what music to introduce Mike Kohler with, so
seems to me
he said find something funny. Here you go. This is my funny for Mike this morning. Mike Kohler is our commissioner for District 2 in Escambia County, and he joins us now on the phone. Commissioner, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. How'd I do? Did I pick something that made you laugh?
Yeah, you're good, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So obviously, we talked about this story a little bit. PNJ did an extensive report on it. You tell us what happened from your point of view with the campaigning and the truck and the pole and the fire and the whatever you want to say.
Well, there wasn't a fire because I was there with the fire department with Charles Thornton. So I don't know where they missed that. And then Charles had called Molly yesterday to tell her there wasn't a fire, but she never called him back. But let me tell you how this went down. I was working precinct 32. This is the strangest hit and run ever in life. And then it went to unattended vehicle, which is correct. But I was on Cypress on K Street, and I pulled over to read my walk list. Charles was down the street because we kind of work in sync. We've done this quite a bit, you know, when I have people work with me. So I was looking at my walk list, and I had my foot on my brake. Someone came by and hit their horn, right? I looked over. And I think it was a supporter. And I thought, wait a minute, Charles is down the road. I looked out. I couldn't see him. I opened up my door, and I got out, forgetting to put my car in park. The car rolled forward a few feet, hit the pole. A spark went from the thing. That's all that happened. I went and put the car in park. I walked toward the house. A man came out. This was the strange place. This is where it gets strange. Guy wouldn't give me his name, told me he didn't live there. He just came there once in a while. That the person that rented there wasn't home, and he wouldn't give me her name. So I went and took Cypress is kind of a narrow road. I went and pulled my car over. I think it was to J Street. Charles came up, and I said, he didn't even know that I'd hit the pole. I said, Paul, Charles, I just hit this pole. And I went and looked. I'm in my truck right now. I got an appointment. So it has a dent in the fender.
Okay.
But anyways, I went back. All this happened in less than 10 minutes. The fire department was there. Someone called the fire department. I don't know who it was. So I was there with the fire department. There was no fire. So they couldn't get in touch with the owner. I didn't know who the owner was. So I figured I'm going to have to go figure out who owns the house, right? So I called in to Dorothy, my aide. And I asked one of the firefighters, Charles is my witness, I said, I'm not going to make a claim. Or, you know, I didn't think at that point I was just going to pay eventually to get my fender fixed, right?
Right.
So I asked the firefighter, I said, do I need to stay? Because I don't think so. I went back. This was on Monday. Called Fire Chief Harris. Well, what happened between that time? We stayed in the neighborhood for another 2.5 hours knocking on doors in the same neighborhood. This is crazy that you know, I didn't take the vehicle and run away. We were in the neighborhood. I can show you the walk sheet. I hit 59 doors. I probably had another 40 that we hit after.
Maybe don't say hit the doors, Mike.
No, I may have to hit the doors. I don't know. I literally hit the doors, and yeah, that's a good joke. Yeah, I did hit some doors too, but so we put up 5 signs. I had so many witnesses in that neighborhood that I was literally walking. We put up 5 different yard signs. I went and filed an insurance claim. The next morning, I called Fire Chief Harrison to get the fire report. He called me later that day. And then the police called me and said, I'm trying to get the fire report. Between that time, I found the lady that owned the house.
Yeah.
She's out of Massachusetts. That's the problem. And they wouldn't give me the name. Her name's Kristen Sable. I left her 2 different messages, which Molly covered. This is such a nothing burger. I mean, I can't even believe that story. And then they literally, I dealt with the police department. They went and talked to the guy. That's a whole different issue. The guy that's there, I don't know what's going on with that. But the bottom line is I have insurance. I have valid registration. I filed a claim. I don't know what else I could do, man. I did everything within a very short amount of time. And the law is that if your vehicle can move, you can report a claim later. And my vehicles, I've been driving all over the county in my vehicle the last 3 days. So I don't get it.
But is there any kind of charge from PPD, at least at this point, that you're...
So Gordon called me after the story went out. I don't think there was going to be any charge because I gave him everything and told him exactly what I'm telling you. But I think because it got some legs, he called me yesterday and goes, hey, I got to give you an unattended vehicle citation. So I said, okay, that's fine. And actually, one of the truth, Andrew, I did get out of my car and it was unattended for a few seconds and it hit the pole. That's a legitimate charge. I'm not going to fight it.
Oh, okay. So for the moments when the actual accident was caused by the fact that the car was ongoing and you were not in it, that's the charge. Okay. That makes sense.
Even though I was right next to the vehicle.
Okay.
But that's true. I mean, that happened. I'm not going to fight it.
Hey, well, I think the problem is it's been described as a hit and run when it was actually a hit and walk.
Yeah, it was.
Or it was a walk and hit and walk. I'm not quite sure how to describe it exactly.
No, it was a hit and watch.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on, Mike, because I know you, okay, and I knew there would be. Well, on the one hand, a lot more to the story, and in a lot of ways, a lot less to the story than I had originally heard. And so, I was feeling
I'm never going to live this one down, man. but it's okay.
Well, it could have been worse. At least it wasn't like the Monty Python sketch where you ran yourself over. So, I mean, there's a lot of worse things that could have happened, right?
Hey, man, this is fun stuff, politics. Things
it
happen,
is.
But you don't want to know the truth. If this is the biggest thing that happened, I'm going to be okay.
No, I totally agree. Hey, Mike, hang on for just a second. We're talking to County Commissioner Mike Kohler. I just want to get your, 5-second reaction to yesterday's meeting, which I thought was super productive. But hold on just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still working that accident at 9 Mile and I-10. Still seeing some minor backups on 9 Mile going westbound. Approaching I-10, about a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
And just to be clear, John, we don't have any reports of unattended vehicles in Cedar downtown.
No, that is clear right now.
All good. Okay. Because now my awareness is heightened to another risk I hadn't been thinking about. Back to County Commissioner Mike Kohler. Mike, the meeting with the Bay Center yesterday, I haven't cut the clips up. We'll talk about more about it on Monday, but I was very pleasantly surprised. It seemed like a lot of consensus and a lot of path forward and an awful lot of clarity, which is not what I expected coming out of this meeting.
Well, I had met with Allison Patton earlier in the week, and, I've been on record several times saying I want to work with the city council and mayor on this. This is just from my point of view.
Sure.
But I think that the board, in general, both sides, the council and our board of county commissioners, wants to do something. The only thing that I would say is I think we're moving too slow, but that's government. But everything you said, I agree 100%. I think everyone wants to do the Bay Center. I think there's an interest in a convention center. Then the ice, there's some good ideas. I don't know where we're going to land on that. The biggest two issues is the hotel and parking, and everyone agreed to that, right? Everyone knows that's kind of the elephant in the room. But everyone seems to think if we move forward with something, then a private company will come in. And it's funny, I met with some of the people with the Hess Group with the Grand probably 4 or 5 months ago. I thought there was a deal, but it fell through. So, but everyone seems to think that will come through. So then I think we're back to what do we do with the parking? And there's a couple options I don't want to say on air that Alice and I were talking about, Patton.
Okay.
That I will mention to Wes, and I need to talk to the mayor. I may be Allison Patton to talk to him about it. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is there's a lot of good energy, I think, right now going on with where we want to go with that.
Are you – I know the mayor has – and he's not super advocating for this, but he does seem – he's mentioned it enough times – taking some slice of the tech park land and using that to build a parking garage, which he thinks will serve double duty, both for whatever eventually comes to the tech park, fingers crossed, or at the very least for whatever happens on the Bay Center property. I know that's one of the in-the-open possibilities. You're saying there's other things as well. Because that would mean the county giving up the tech park or a portion of it, right?
Well, that's a problem, and I'll tell you why. Because I met with Chris Plate. I can't disclose, but promise you, I know, and the mayor's told me this, and he brought it up yesterday. They swear there's two different, and now a third business that wants to go in there. There's still some extra parking space there that potentially the county or the city we could use for parking. But I'm actually meeting with Chris Plate later today about
Chris is the director of Florida West. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to follow up with him just to confirm, what he has told me about these businesses because that's an unknown. I believe there's two things or two, potentially three that want to go in there according to what he's told me. I know that's a big issue. It's been vacant for, gosh, over a decade.
Forever,
but the bottom line is I don't know. There may be a slicer that we can use, but there's some other options, too.
Okay. All right. Well, I respect the process. I understand you can't say everything out loud and in the open and, that we'll have to wait for some of the details. But I'm intrigued by your cagey answer that there might be some additional parking solution that has not been mentioned out loud so far. So I'll look forward to that. But again,
I don't want to mention it because the property.
And you know, you might have to acquire things and you don't want to, you know, drive up the price and you don't want to let other, it all makes sense to me. So, I appreciate, and I respect that frankly, that, you know, you don't want to say because that might change, for example, what the county has to pay for something. So, very good. Well, again, I thought it was a good meeting yesterday. Kudos to Chair Hoffberger. I thought she ran the meeting well, and it was nice to see everybody basically get along. So wonderful. Mike Kohler, always appreciate you being available on short notice. Look forward to seeing you again soon. And thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Okay. I'm going to hit doors and pulls, so I'll talk to you later.
Knock. You're going to knock on doors today. Not hit them.
I got a phone, baby. And I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right. 751 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Christy and Darren Costello are the owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through our doors.
At first, there were a few. Then every day, more and more came.
The need in our community was huge. The demand kept growing, and I refused to turn away from feeding these children.
Fast forward.
I created a foundation in honor of my mother, Kimberly Tower. To date, we have provided over 500,000 free meals. We've made tangible strides, but our mission is calling for even more, and we really need your help. We need donations, we need volunteers, and most of all, we need your prayers.
To find out more on how you can help, visit the Kimberly Tower Foundation website at ktfforlove.org or drop by and meet Christy at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the corner of Lillian and Fairfield Drive.
Some children carry more than backpacks into their day.
Right now, children at the Gulf Coast Kids House are facing trauma no child should experience.
Leadership Pensacola's class of 2026 is supporting the creation of a healing garden.
Your support helps turn pain into progress and stress into strength.
Donate online at PensacolaChamber.com.
Together, we can help healing take root.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. Be honest, did you strike the timpani when they did?
Well, of course
I
did.
You did. Right.
Oh my goodness.
And did you picture timpani? And do you now know what a timpani? Anyway.
Well, this is getting
Mutual
deep.
Of Omaha, Wild Kingdom. All right, 7:53. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good. Oh, hold on there.
Are you in the same can Mike was in?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I just stepped out of it though. We're good now.
Excellent.
So President Trump says gas prices are really not that high. He was asked by a reporter at the White House Thursday how long Americans would have to deal with the high gas prices, which have spiked since the Iran war began. The president said prices aren't really very high and not as high as had been expected when the war began.
I thought it'd be a whole lot worse. He said that before. Yeah, it's kind of a...
Well, I mean,
it,
we
it
really
doesn't
have
make
seen...
you feel great, you know, to be told that you're worrying about something that doesn't really matter. I would have liked to hear him address the price of diesel and the price of fertilizer for the farmers. It sucks for them real bad. Anyway, go ahead.
See, that's probably the worst of it is the fertilizer.
Oh, yeah. 30%. 30% up in the last two
months. That's really hurting farmers very badly. A new poll out showing strong support among Cuban Americans for U.S. military action in Cuba. That was done by the Miami Herald, found about 80% of respondents would favor an intervention aimed at regime change or humanitarian relief. And a man is now facing charges after allegedly walking into Aetna's corporate headquarters in Hartford, Connecticut with an AR-style weapon, but he was stopped quickly by their security.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Somebody says, I love hearing from policy leaders on the air. Need more interviews like Mike or Ashley or Lumen or Patton, Allison Pat. Yeah, the reason I don't do a lot of interviews, I should tell you this. I used to do more of like newsmaker type interviews. The reason I don't do a lot of them is because I instead cover what they say in the meetings in an official venue where they're interacting with other people on the particular policies of the day, and then I can play everybody and give a lot of balance to it. And frankly, it just takes up a lot of time to have interviews with the leaders, and then you kind of get their perspective but not other people's perspective. It's actually a whole lot easier. If I wanted to be like lazy radio, frankly, I would just book a bunch of interviews because it is the easiest thing in the world to do. All I do is I get somebody on the air and then I talk with them. Whereas like watching a meeting, sorting through all that, cutting the audio, sorting all that, and then playing. There's actually a much more work intensive. John, can you confirm?
I can confirm.
It's like five times as much
work. Yes, it is.
But I think the on-air product is better, is more comprehensive. And, you know, trust me, I understand what you mean, but if you ever wondered, like, well, why doesn't Andrew have a lot of city council or county commissioners, you know, well, that's why. I literally just told you why, because I'm reporting on the official actions that they give, and then also, you know, I think it's a better way to present the information. But trust me, it's tempting, because it is so much easier. It is so much lazy radio easier to do just a bunch of interviews. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're no longer dealing with the accident that happened at Nine Mile Road, but we're dealing with some delays on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit. Just seeing some minor delays there. Highway 90, Avalon 29, they are all starting to clear up. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, I'm going to belabor this point for a second, just so you get a sense, all right? So it takes, you know, 10 seconds of calling somebody to book an interview, right? Okay, and then they're on the air for, you know, 10 minutes, let's say 8 or 10 minutes, and then they're done, okay? And that took me a grand total of, like, 10 minutes and a bit, right, to make happen. Or if I do in a segment, I deal with a Milton City Council meeting. You know, it's an hour and a half to watch the meeting on a good day. I watch it on fast speed, so it's, you know, an hour and 10 minutes, okay? And then I got to go back and cut the audio, and every clip takes 30 seconds to a minute.
Does it sound like Mickey Mouse to you or the Chipmunks?
No, it actually doesn't change the vocal tone at all. Okay. I don't know. My recorder's really good about that. So that probably takes me another hour. So I'm now 2 hours and a half, two to 2.5 hours into producing for a 10-minute segment. Or book an interview. You say, well, that sounds like stupid use of time. Yeah, I know. Talk to my wife. She'd say the same thing. But the reason I tell you all that is because I just believe in the value of the quality of having done it that way. Plus, then I bring a bunch of additional information to bear that I may not get on the air, but that I've listened to in the meeting and gathered. And that's background, you know. It's just so that's why I don't do interviews, if you've ever wondered. The three of you who have ever wondered. Don't do a lot of interviews. In contrast, for example, I'll do interviews with the sheriffs, Mike Wood, PPD, with the mayor, Julio, just because they have information that I then don't have to digest and I can help have them present it, but also because they don't do like the meeting where the sheriff is talking all the time. Of course, if he does a press conference, we'd cover that, but they don't produce the same level of content that all of your other elected officials do in their regular meetings. Man, I did not mean to talk about that for so long. Sorry to bore you. There's a little peek behind the scenes.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, it really is. And people don't get to see that. I get to see it and I get to hear it, but people don't. And that's why that was really
It's also funny sometimes because people have this idea about like when people are radio hosts, you know, the amount of work that you do. And they'll say, yeah, oh, sure. Hard work. 4 hours a day. Must be difficult. Well, if you do it like some people do, it's not much work. You know, if you wake up at 4, read the paper, have an interview or two, talk about what was in the paper that day and do your show. I mean, sure. But it does not take me 4 hours. My day is 10 to 12 hours a day on a good day with no events.
And I can confirm.
Yeah. So I hope it shows. I hope you enjoy. I know you do anyway. Well, that was not what I intended to talk about there, but I hope you found it interesting. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Julio Diaz, of course, about movies. We're also going to do the Transgressive Memorial Service and find out about Eric Swalwell.
Late
and easy taking of bar exams and accommodations. Coming up next.
Listen on air at 92.3.